the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Gabby confesses on Days of Our Lives, Rich takes a plunge on The Bold and the Beautiful, Ava's pregnant with a Corinthos baby on General Hospital, and The Young and the Restless make some big casting moves. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello, Luke.
And Melody Eichels, welcome.
Hello.
Well, Jamie, we didn't have a podcast last week, which was because of the fact that we were doing the upgrade on the site, and I didn't have time to record, but you had broken a story that week about David Tom being out at The Young and the Restless as Billy Abbott and Burgess Jenkins being in. Give us the behind-the-scenes scoop on that.
Well, since it has been a while since we podcasted, that news might come off like, you know, day-old oatmeal. But, yeah, it, you know, after all the fanfare and the hoopla and the shang-a-ma-lang-lang-lang-ling and the Tom siblings going on the talk, it's a new Billy Abbott. All sorts of things have been bandied about. From what I understand, this real deal Holyfield is that very quickly after bringing David Tom on, they realized he was not what they needed for that role. Negotiations began again with Billy Miller. Negotiations broke down again. You know, depending on whatever's out there, it's a lot of he said, she said, we said, but Billy didn't end up back at that show, so they had to recast, and Burgess Jenkins is the lucky 1, 2, 3, 4. Is he 4, 5, 6? I've lost count. 4th or 5th person
this
to
is
play
like,
Billy
this
Abbott
is like,
as an adult. So
this is like Joey from One Life to Live. This reminds me of the Joeys from One Life to Live, boy.
And y'all get to get your drinking game in early.
Oh,
it's
like
no.
Oh,
no.
The world, too.
It's like
Jamie Frame. Every other year they had a new Jamie Frame. So it's like, you know. Okay.
Now, Mel, there was some other news that came out during the downtime, which was that Gina Tognoni has joined The Young and the Restless as Phyllis. Now, it's my understanding that they've been after her for a while.
Y'all, okay, tea alert, grab your glasses, people. I know that they have wanted Gina Tognoni since before Guiding Light ended. They were offering her, allegedly, let me throw that in there, allegedly, double the salary to come on as a certain role, but, you know, Gina didn't want to come out to L.A. Things happened. She ended up on One Life to Live, but they finally got her over there. And I'm excited.
Are you happy that she's Phyllis, or had you still been holding out hope for Victoria?
Well, you know, I'm happy that she's Phyllis. I'm happy to see her on another soap because it's been far too long for Gina Tognoni to not be on a soap somewhere. So, and I think she will do a bang-up job as Phyllis. Granted, I would love to see her as Victoria, but, you know, you beg a
chin.
No, not all of us.
Three out of four podcast hosts agree. This is going to become a toothpaste commercial. Not to talk about P&G too much.
The majority of us know that that girl needs to be replaced, and Gina should have been Victoria. Gina should have been Victoria.
Yeah, say that then, because I've said several times that Victoria could be recast. Right now, I don't feel that way, because once again, I'm enjoying her with her dude, because I like Victoria and Stitch. But even if it was to be recast, Gina wouldn't be my go-to-go person for that.
Well, Jamie, I noticed on Twitter that you said you're going to give up live tweeting The Young and the Restless. Why is that?
Luke, and I'm not going to rant either this podcast. I refuse to raise my voice about The Young and the Restless. It is just a television program. I am going to speak calm and calmly say that the show is in the worst creative shape than I can remember in my...
The numbers back you up, too.
My 35-ish years of watching, I can't remember.
I just turned 35. I know you're more than 35.
Boy, I'm just finna be 37. I'm basically giving myself that I started watching at 2, but let's be real.
That was good.
I'm 30 plus years of watching this show. I cannot remember. I can remember times when I was this upset. When I was upset, I was upset with LML. I was upset with Maria. But
so long, Sister Killer.
I would trade any of that for having to watch another story about an internet stalker who is mad that his mama died because of a character we actually do care about killed his mama off screen in his eyes or her eyes. And so they have to use the internet to get back at them. And the chief of police has to get involved. And everyone, and no crimes are ever committed. You know, Hillary, there was no crime in blogging. Perez Hilton would be up under the jail if there was. There's no crime in making mean comments on message boards. I get called all sorts of fat bastards on message boards. I didn't know I could go get the chief of police involved. I mean, it's just horrifyingly bad.
But aren't you enjoying the Cupcake Chronicles?
I thought the Cupcake web series stuff was the worst part until this cute Abercrombie model boy who Summer was, you know, sharing mono with the other day, all of a sudden is like, the confessions of the Avery Bailey Clark, take one. I'm like, did R. Kelly write this? Did Usher? I mean, is this what?
Why?
I want to know the web series that is shot in someone's studio apartment that needs photo publicity steals. I want to know the show that needs that. I want to know the cooking web series that's shot in someone's house that gets to go on a national talk show. I want to know.
What the fuck?
I want to know where love is.
I thought this was a good story. I want to know why someone was paid twice to write the same long story. Hillary and Austin have the same long story. Helen Keller can see that. This is lazy. This is shameful. And it is shoddy. And these people need to be held accountable. I'm tired of the "it wasn't me" song, you know, because that's what's going on there now. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It's not Jill. Don't blame Jill. Don't blame the writers. Don't blame this one. Don't blame Angelica. Don't blame Jill. Well, who is it? Who is responsible for the
buck stops nowhere
abysmal state that the Y and R, the young and the restless, hashtag Y and R, is in right now? Who's to blame? That's what I want to know.
I mean, you know, the blogger storyline, anybody could see that that was YNR's way to, like, wag their fingers at online, especially to me. I felt, i.e., you know, I'm not trying to be conceited, but, you know, the online webosphere, you know.
Well, there's nastier people out there than us, though, about that.
No,
shit.
I know, but to me, I just felt
that we're not nasty.
Keep it real.
I was real nasty yesterday. I was nasty as hell because I had to sit there and watch.
Well, you may have been on your Twitter, but I'm talking about DC as a whole. We're not nasty.
No, you know, let me just get my point out. I just feel as though they were trying to shame online, and that was like one of their platforms. You know, mm-hmm. We're going to shame them. And it, you know, you can't have it both
Maria
ways.
Maria did that mess too. She did that mess too.
Yeah, but darling, you can't have it both ways. You can't try to woo us, and then you can't say, get the hell out of my bedroom. You can't do that. You can't do that because you're just going to piss off.
It was self-congratulating having them utter all those lines. Someone can just log in. And I'm like, this story would have been relevant in 1994 when the internet first took shape. But even, you know, I'm all for, because The Good Wife does that and does it well. The Good Wife will tackle the nastiness of the online media and make a sweeping, wonderful story about how it can get someone accused of a terroristic crime that he didn't commit. But they don't. My point is, you can skewer the media, and you can skewer anything you want, but no one cares about a cooking show enough for the chief of police of a major city police department to get personally involved in that.
Out of all the people, I feel bad for Jessica Collins in that. Mm-hmm. I feel really bad.
I agree with you. I don't even the character of Avery, and I'm just like, today I was watching, and it was like,
I feel bad for the kid who plays the villain, because he's a great actor.
Yes, what is with them at that show?
Kyle.
They have five or six.
Can you, imagine him as Kyle.
What is, I don't understand.
Five or six missing legacy males in that age range. Kyle, Scotty, all these people out there, and this is where, and I did say this on Twitter, and I'm not going to rant, but they refuse to write a decent story for Noah, for Summer, for any of these people, these name characters that the audience has known since they were born on our screens. Yet this, it worked with Hillary because Michelle Morgan is such a killer actress that she saved it. But once again, they're writing the same lazy story about an internet stalker who comes to town to attack a loved one, a character we care about at least, because Avery's pretty new, but a relatively, beloved character on the canvas. They come to town to attack them about stuff that did not happen on screen. This is a show with 40 years of history. If this boy would have been the son of Sasha, who Phyllis killed.
Oh my God, Jamie.
Any of the freaking, I'm not going to get mad, any of the stuff that we've seen on the show, if he was the kid that Cassandra Rollins had and he's mad that Brad walked away with his mom's fortune, or anything in the history of this show, this 41-year-old show. But no, people are paid $30,000 a week or however much, because maybe they don't get the full head writer WGA minimum basic agreement since there's 75 head writers, but someone is getting paid tens of thousands of dollars to write the same storylines over and over again. And it's not us. It's not this one.
You know what?
It's not Jill. Yeah, you've seen her destroy 75 soaps, but no matter what.
This time it's not her. I promise it's not her.
Do not blame Jill. Don't blame Jill. Don't blame the writers. Well, who's to blame then?
I'm sorry, but I don't like that. I will blame Jill because she gets to say, yeah, this is a good storyline. And she also gets to say, hell no. We've seen Frank Valentini say himself, if it was up to Ron, Sonny's ass would be on Mars. He said he told Ron, enough with that face-off
right.
shit.
So who's greenlighting? Mm-hmm. So let's dissect this problem by problem. Anyone who pitched those stories should be fired. I'm just going to be real. Anyone who walked into a room and said, I want to do a story about a cooking show, and then we're going to bring in a boy whose mama, Avery, got off the guy who killed his mama, they should have just been fired right then and there, because we don't have time for that in daytime. No, they should have been fired. But if that got past, the writing room, where are the checks and balances? Where is Jill reading that and saying, this woman who has had this wealth of experience in soap opera, how did she let that story get through? If it got through Jill, how did Steve Kent and Angelica let these stories get through? Margot Wayne is I was told when I said no one there has a history grasp of Y&R, I was told about her long-term history grasp. Where is that long-term history grasp? It's not there. It's not there. Mm-hmm. Every other soap on the dial is paying attention to its history. They're not creating a bunch of new junk that we didn't need. Days just wrapped a murder mystery, 3 years in the making? And the murder victim was a character, a legacy character, whose mother suffered from mental illness on this show in the 80s. That was brought up during the climax of his story, that maybe he was suffering some of the same issues that Nick's mother, Jessica Fallon, went through. They are bringing those threads up on Days. GH gets a lot of shit online. Yes, they do. There are a lot of people who, arguably, GH might be catching as much hell sometimes online as Y&R. This is why I don't give them as much hell. Because you do have Scotty and Lucy and Kevin in a triangle. You do have someone interested in Felicia's Aztec Jewels. Yes, it makes people groan, but that's a story that was popular on that show. At GH, at least they're saying, let's try to pull stuff from our past. Yeah, the fans might hate it and pick it apart and say, you dumb motherfucker, Ron, that's not how the Aztec Princess story went, but at least he's trying to tell a story about the Aztec Princess. He, you know, and yeah, he brings on new characters too, but to me, there's a better balance there. The Bold and the Beautiful is still about the same freaking three or four families that it's always been about. But YNR has brought on 20 new characters in the span of a year. They're always sinister. They're always trying to get somebody. And they're always using the internet. And then they die. Or they get rebooted. Or
they're always rewriting history.
It's like we don't care about the 41 years of history that's there. We're going to create our own history. We're going to put our own stamp on this show. We're going to put our own skylines. Who cares that people care about Jabot or Newman Enterprises? Bradley Bell gets that. That's why every damn day you see Forrester Creations. When Bill Bell was there, every damn day you saw Jabot. You saw Newman Enterprises. No one would reboot Knott's Landing and say, we're not going to have them live on Seaview Circle. We're going to move them into an apartment complex. But I'll tell you who would say that, Jill Farron Phelps. And I've seen her do it at every show she's ever done. She came onto another world and she brought on all these police stations and firemen stations and everything, the hospital. She didn't give a shit about what made that show what it was, and she doesn't give a shit about YNR and what made it.
She really does love the police.
Her vision. And people cannot tell me what I don't know because I've seen it. I don't know her as a person, but I do have eyes for what I've seen on every show.
I mean, you know what?
And puts her own piss on a tree every time.
Jill could be a lovely person. I'm just going to go there. She could be a lovely person. She could be helping, you know, little old ladies cross the street. She could be catching babies out of burning apartments and so forth. But she is really sucking at the shows that she is helming. I mean, she, I ain't gonna front, she did killer work. I know Mel's still all mad that she mowed Maureen Bauer down, but that was brilliant shit. Yeah, she did brilliant shit.
Jamie always says, she mortally wounds them and then she moves
and
on.
Who knows? He's this right. Is my thing with her. Maybe if she had ever been given her own show from the beginning, it would be great. Who knows? A lot of people love to say
didn't
that
you like Hollywood Heights?
I did enjoy Hollywood Heights. You know, it was frothy and
fun.
That
might make your point.
You know, it's like, but she is the type of showrunner who does not care about the history that precedes her. She flat out does not care. It is a known fact. She flat out does not care about the history of these shows that precede her. So I'm not saying she's to blame for everything that's going on at YNR, but that's a history that she has that we already do know. Then you have the writing. The writing of this show, Jill is Jill, but the writing of this show is horrid. Any these stories, these scenes, you know, who thinks that this is drama? YNR has always been the slowest paced of the soaps, but there was psychological tension in every scene Bill Bell did. There was always something leading up and simmering undercurrent. This is just about the minutiae of life now. There are paragraphs of dialogue about people cutting lemons to make a drink.
Doesn't it remind you of Guiding Light and Cutting Coupons?
I mean, why do I care if Noah Newman can make a club soda? Why do I care about that?
We still don't. I mean, we all know Stitch and Kelly's there. We all have ideas on who Stitch and Kelly are. But they've been on the show how long now? And they still haven't played.
Look
that
at that. Look at how
because Katie Flame is so busy smiling and
Vivaldi. I've never heard Jack mention Vivaldi. You know, characterization works when you know for a fact what a character likes. You know, when you know that Marlena loved caviar and Roman loved sardines. That characterization worked for them because it created the dichotomy between them. You know, on another world, You knew Vicki Hudson loved Melissa Etheridge music and rock and roll and trashy clothes. So that was a part of her fabric. And you knew Marley loved her cashmere sweaters. But when we've seen Jack Abbott for 41 years and we've never heard him mention Vivaldi, for him to suddenly in his 60s be talking about Vivaldi every day, that screams, I'm going to do my own thing with this show. Who cares about the history? He banged models. And he couldn't keep his cock in his pants, and he lost his daddy's company to Victor Newman. That is Jack Abbott.
We know Victor Nicky's song. We always knew their song, you know, Through the Eyes of Love. Whenever that would come on, they would be like, oh, that's their song, but now we hear Vivaldi.
Can like, you imagine Terry Lester's Jack sitting around listening to Vivaldi while he was horny for his stepmother or screwing models in the shower when Ashley had to drag him out? It's like, stop trying to make it what you want it to be. That's why I cut for Ron. I will say that, because he might not get it always right, but he does care about the history of General Hospital.
That's
his own detriment, you know.
And that is why I will cut
for Pickle Lila.
That's why I will cut for Days also, because you have some people who are like, oh, I don't like it. I'm like, what are you talking about? This shit is on fire. I'm like, it is delving in the depths of history. They are just firing on
and there's no ego either, because I'm going to be real, because this regime, Gary Tomlin and them could be salty because of everything Marlene and what the previous regime did, but they are not. You know how writers do that. They come in and they erase everything that happened before them. And Days is not doing that. Days just wrapped Gabby's story by taking it all the way back to what another regime had her doing to, you know, the young adult characters on that show.
They took her storyline, her history from the previous regime and enhanced it. They put their stamp on it too. Don't get us wrong with that. But they enhanced it. They made it even juicier.
If you would have ever told me that the day would come in my soap opera viewing that Days of Our Lives had better long stories, breakdowns, and scripts than Bill Bell's The Young and the Restless, I would have laughed in your face, and I am an NBC soap baby. Days was my heart. I have grown up with those shows. I love Days like babies love pacifiers, but I have never thought it was the best soap. I just thought it was one of my favorites. But if you'd have ever told me that there would come a day when Days was actually creatively better than The Young and the Restless, I would have laughed. I would have been like, no.
I mean, they just used history the other day when Sammy and Kate were talking in the park and Marlena followed them.
Wonderful scene.
Oh my God, and when Sammy read her, she was just like, Marlena was just like, I just want you to do better. And Sammy was like, there's a reason why I'm like this. I'm like, oh, take me to the river.
And Kate and Sammy conspiring and talking about Marlena, and their Marlena overhearing it.
Oh my
was
God.
Like,
I was
wonderful.
Oh my God, I was so like, I ain't gonna lie. You know it takes.
I am going to be in so much denial when Allison's speaking. I am going to be so much denial
there, because as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, I love your parent, and then I'm like, God damn it, Sweeney, leave it.
You see the excitement that induces in a soap fan? People who get soaps get that. It's not that we want them all to stay the same, but you want, in a family, in our families, in our real families, even though we grow and evolve, there are certain people we have the same dynamics with. Our relationships may improve, get better, but the moment that there is conflict, it's human nature. You know, you're going to go back to that. Sammy and Marlena have gotten along good for years, but when they get into it, it's like, bitch, you was sleeping with John on that table. That's why I'm crazy.
Yes, and then she, you know, even though Sammy was like, okay, Mom, I'm sorry, she still did her little digging with Marlena. She's like, ooh, you always judging folk. I'm like, oh, my God, this is good shit right
And with Julie, I mean, my God.
Oh, Julie Vegas this week.
They took it all the way back to 1965 because Julie identifies with Nick. Because her thing is, for me, the way she's never said this, but I'm looking at how Julie treats Nick, and she's thinking, well, what if somebody would have killed me back when I was showing out? You know, I needed a second chance, and so did Nick. They do that on Days. They pay homage to that history. They don't come in and in a mad dash decide to redo everything, mess with the music. You know, yeah, they've done a lot of that. Days did a lot of that, though, to survive. Days's thing was like, we're not coming in because we think we're hip. And we're going to these two or three sets because we ain't got no money and we were trying to stay on the air. You know, but Y&R is not doing it like that. Y&R is too busy, you know, if there's a scene where Cricket goes to the bathroom, somebody is too busy finding a Photoshop image of a bathroom to show. Because heaven forbid that the soap audience, you know, this is a genre that started listening to, fans of this genre, some of them started listening on the radio when you made up your own images of what was going on. We don't need a freaking scene placeholder to let us know Cricket's going to the bathroom. We don't need a sign that says coffee to let us know Dylan is going to the coffee house. We don't need a picture of a movie theater from 1935 to show us that everybody's at the movies. We don't need that. We need a good storyline is what we need.
I mean, I think Days did go there one time when they brought on Daniel. To me, I felt Days and Y&R sort of mirrored each other because, and it's funny because they're Sony sister soaps, because, you know, when to me, it was like, Days, they had everything revolving around Daniel. They had him Victor's godson. Then all of a sudden, he was Maggie's egg baby.
Yeah.
And then he messed with Kate. And then he did this, that, and the other. He was just, they were trying to, like, sustain him to that canvas. And to
yeah,
me...
Yeah, in the past.
Yeah, Y&R's doing...
Guilty of that.
Y&R, I feel as though Y&R's doing the same thing with Dylan. Like, you know... I feel as though they're doing that with Dylan. They are doing that with Dylan so that Jill can say Steve Burt needs to be on this show.
And TH does it with Franco, to be fair.
Oh,
and one of them has B&B is the only soap that isn't trying to push a character that everyone just hates. You know, B&B, you have your people who love pretty much their B&B really has the good rivalry soap where there's someone who's team everyone.
Yeah.
GH is gonna push Franco come hell or high water. The only thing I'll give them, though, is that they smartly stopped playing him every day. But they're still, you know, got their, I can't think of the metaphor. Their feet dug in on that one. I would say that Days has evolved Daniel,
yes,
Jennifer, to where they're palatable for me because of the stories that evolve around them. Because at least I get red hot confrontation scenes like Jennifer versus Nicole this past week and stuff like that. I mean, I'm still not a Danifer fan,
no.
But I don't hate that. I don't fast forward anything because I do try to watch everything. Maybe that's why I get so angry, because I really want to try to give my best when I'm doing these podcasts and stuff. So I don't fast forward, but if I was not doing Daytime Confidential, I would not be watching The Young and the Restless right now.
Nope.
Well, yes, I would. I'd be watching Hillary's storyline, Hillary, Neil, and Lily. And that's another thing. If you'd ever told me the Winters would ever be with
the best story
without Drusilla and Malcolm that I would ever care about the Winters again, I'd have laughed in your face too. But that's the only story that's working.
And we've got to move on, so I'm going to let Jamie have the last word on that. Let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives. Jillian, you were saying earlier how much you loved it. What did you think of Gabby versus Julie and how that is all played out?
Gabby can't mess with the original Salem bad girl. I'm sorry. I mean, she may have one up Sammy here and there. That's because Sammy was preoccupied with all of chilling. But she can't mess with the original bad girl of Salem. She knows them bag of tricks, honey. And when Julie read her for filth, I was like, woo, child. Oh, Susan Seaforth Hayes is so good. I'm like, take her off them damn cruise ships and put her in a storyline. Man, she was, Days is just on fire. Like, you know, when some people on Twitter are like, oh, I can't stand Days, I'm like, what Days are you watching, bruh? I'm like, what are you watching? Are you in Europe somewhere watching the Dina Higley?
You know what? That always reminds me, though, that it's all subjective. It's all, there's somebody out there who is loving The Young and the Restless. I guarantee you, it's all, you know, it is all subjective. I'm telling you, there's probably somebody who is like, ooh, I can't wait to find out when Noah is going to teach Mariah how to make a Shirley Temple tomorrow. It's somebody out there.
It's
well,
crazy.
When Julie went and told Gabby, "I hope you hate yourself for the rest of your life," I'm paraphrasing, I absolutely was rolling with laughter. It was like,
say,
go
yeah.
Julie.
Yeah.
Jamie, what did you think of Gabby? And as we prepare to send her off into Never Never Land.
Wait, now, I missed a few, but did they find out that she killed poor Jack Devereaux?
They found out everything. She confessed. She was doing confessions like Usher. She didn't, you know, I wouldn't have told Abigail that. But she told Abigail everything. Abigail was like, "You're my friend, Gabby. I'm gonna be here for you. I mean, yeah, Nick was my cousin, but..." And Gabby was like, "Oh, Dios mio, I'm not your friend. I'm not your friend. I am the reason your daddy is dead." And she was like, "What?" But no, she didn't really. They didn't even mention Jack, you know. But they did.
Oh.
She found out that Gabby was the one who hired that creepy boy who terrorized Melody, which of course led to the. So she knows everything. But you know, it was kind of just like an unsaid thing, and then you know, for Abigail to kind of just you know walk off and. You know, she had to do the ugly cry, and it was a good moment. I mean, they went ahead and they didn't leave anything like
stone unturned.
You know, they didn't do anything like, "Oh well, we'll bring her back in for sweeps." It was like, let's just get this over.
Balls to the wall, baby.
I do kind of wish that some, you know, because I understand Julie's, you know, righteous indignation, but I do kind of wish somebody would have yelled at her, like maybe rape or someone. He tried to rape her on the ground in the park. You know, he should have been dead after that. I mean, and I love Blake Barris, but I'm like, the character of Nick did some really abominable things. So did Gabby, but
that's
to
me
one thing I love about Days, though. There's in that whole group of people that was involved in that story, there really are no heroes and villains. It's, you know, they all, like, Sonny was kind of unblemished for a while, but the moment he went over to Uncle Vic's house and got that gun, he became just as sullied as the rest of them.
I kind of wish that Sammy had said something to Julie, like when Julie was being a bitch to Gabby about Nick. I wish Sammy, to me, I thought that would have tied in history well. If Sammy was like, "He tried to rape her, Julie. I know what that is like." And, you know, bring up how she made Alan, you know, she changed him from a rooster to a hen child.
Julie might have
like
said, "So what? Uncle Bill did that to Laura. They married that Jennifer." Days of Our Lives has some sketchy history with rape long before General Hospital turned rape into romance. Days of Our Lives did that with Bill Horton and Laura. They tried to be like, "Oh, he ravished her." I'm like, no, if a woman says no, that ain't ravishing, that is raping. But yeah, I mean, and that's, I love that they tied so much of that show's history in. You know, I loved Hope being involved in this. Finally, Hope was not, you know, organizing the church bazaar. Hope was having to interrogate her own cousins. And, you know, they didn't. Sometimes I'm so used to soaps having to scream that I had to remind myself, well, Hope and Lucas know they're cousins, Jamie, because I was sitting there going, well, they're not going to talk about the fact that they're cousins and she's doing this. And I'm like, that's the soap watcher in me. I'm waiting for him to be like, how could you do this to me? But, you know, it was just a really good story coming to an end. And then you got the Aracole stuff. You know,
that
exploded because Jennifer Rose was like, I'm not going to let Nicole, you know, show Daniel a shiny ball again. Ooh. And then he forget that she hid Eric's I didn't have sex with anybody consensual papers. So Jennifer Rose slicked her hair back like Madonna in a ponytail. And went and told on Nicole, and Nicole showed up at her house and was like, "Bitch, I tried to be your friend, but see, you are still the same little goody two shoes all up in everybody's business."
See, and that's another thing too, because I'm like, you know, I'm like, see, when Sammy finds out that Abby hunched her man, I'm like, I kind of wish Nicole and Sammy would team up and be like, You get Big Mama and I'ma get Little Bitch. And
they were so ghetto. Nicole was so ghetto because
Nicole's always been ghetto.
Nicole from the hood.
She's always been that way.
Nicole is part Cuban now.
She's a porn star.
Nicole part Cuban.
After they finish fighting, you know you ghetto when you at your house again and you still talking noise under your breath. She was like, always up in somebody's business. I was like,
see, that's that Cuban in Nicole coming out, boy. I was like, get it, girl.
They're seen because Jennifer met her at the door. That's one thing. Mom Horton would be rolling over in her grave if she knew how Jennifer just let people barge into that house, the sacred Horton house. You know, Jennifer ain't never been able to tell nobody, no, you can't come in. Anne just marches on in. Nicole just marches. Jennifer's like, you can't come in, Nicole. My cousin is dead, and I'm going to see about Gabby. Nicole said, did you not hear me, Jennifer? I'm not going anywhere. And she just walked on up into that woman's house. I said, see, in Texas, Jennifer would have been like, oh, wait just a minute, And she'd have pushed a butt up into a clip into the butt of a gun. But, yeah.
That's how y'all do in Texas.
Oh, yeah, you can't just come. You come up in my... house.
Y'all got some punks in Texas because where I'm from, you come barging, we ain't gonna say no, wait a second, we gonna brandish that in your face and be like, look.
We got to load it. Have the gun. It's children running around. You can't have the gun just loaded.
Oh, we keep it locked and loaded.
But, Days. Days is so good right now.
Yes! I'm so sad that Allie and James are leaving.
Days is smart. They're doing like Knott's Landing did when they knew Donna Mills was leaving. They brought on other younger, well, not young, that wasn't necessarily the point, but they brought on young Abbeys, basically. They had already been grooming Nicolette Sheridan, and then they had that little girl, that little other blonde girl who got her neck's y'all, hey, my Knott's Landing fans that are listening, y'all know the girl I'm talking about. She married both of Karen's sons. She was a whole monster. But she got her neck slit. a serial killer got her. But, you know, they brought on other little similar. And I think that's why Days is like, it makes sense now. Because I'm going to be honest, when I first heard, you know, that Eileen was coming back and they were bringing on Cassie DePaiva as Eve, my first thought is, well, they kind of duplicate each other's energy, you know, in a way, you know. So I was like, that's going to be kind of the same archetype, but with Allison Sweeney gone, they're going to need the big guns. They might better call Joan Collins up and dust off and see if she can come on. Hello, Marlena.
Mel.
We're going to need some big dogs when Sweeney and James go.
Mel, speaking of hoe monsters, what did you think of Brooke's wedding on The Bold and the Beautiful?
You better shut your face.
Are you calling Brooke a hoe? Then you would be correct. And so is her daughter.
Anyways, I am correct. Okay. It's actually correct.
Anyways, that was, man, you know, Brooke and Bill's wedding reminded me of what weddings used to be on soaps because it was such this big buildup. You know, they went to Abu Dhabi on Friday, you know, wake up and they're there and you see them in the city the whole time planning this wedding and Bill is doing all these extravagant things. And I am not the biggest Bill and Brooke shipper, but even I was like, oh, this is really nice
Brooke
and romantic.
Brooke is the only female soap character who deserves that.
This is good. Yeah, we're going to skip all that. But it was good. It had a nice buildup. And then you had back in L.A., you know, Quinn is being herself and she has to break up the wedding because that's what she's going to do. And she tells Ridge and Ridge is like, oh, I'm going to run off and I'm going to go save Logan from Bill. And I'm like, okay, but what about Katie?
That's right.
What about Katie?
You know what about Katie? Uh-huh. What about Katie? What about Katie?
Shut up.
As soon as he knew his Logan was in trouble, he got on Aladdin's magic carpet.
Katie is better than me.
That magic carpet was a boat on...
Katie is better than me because, baby, the second Ridge would have said, I'm on the plane to go break up Bill and Brooke's wedding. I'd have been on the next plane to go whoop his ass for doing that shit.
That's what she get for ever thinking she had a shot with Big Sister's destiny.
If I was Katie, I'd have pulled a Bernadine from Waiting to Excel. I'd have been like, go on that plane. Go on that plane. plan, because we know Rich ain't got a pot to piss in right now, crashing on people's couches and shit.
I just wish they let me be the Greek chorus, because I want to be that person. You know when people finna fight on the playground, and you got them people heckling them? I just want to be like the male secretary at Forrester, so I can be, ow, Katie, you mean both of your men up in Abu Dhabi and stuff, looking for Brooke? Ow, I didn't know.
Burn Rich's shit. Burn his shit up. That annoyed me. I'm like, Katie, come on now.
Ran across that desert. Ran across that hot desert saying, hot man, and scorpions kicking up in his face. Logan! Ron Moss's Logan. You know, Ron Moss, she wouldn't even hear Ron Moss if he was yelling, Logan! Yeah, he heard her, Logan!
I love Brooke, but
I was screaming at my TV. I was like, Brooke, if you don't want to get it, why did Brooke just stop? You know, I'm like, why she just let him run her across? She could have stopped at any second.
She was just the running. She was like, okay, where we going?
You know, she could have made them both fall or something. I'm like,
any woman, especially if you got a fresh press, ladies, you and I know. Now, ladies, male, you know. Mm-hmm. And some of you brothers out there, too. If you get a fresh press and some fool have you running, getting ready to sweat that out, you know you'd have been like, skirt, where we going? Why I running? Why am I sweating?
He took off running with Brooke, and I'm like, why she don't just tell him, stop, Ridge? What you doing, fool?
She was running away. She wanted to run away from Bill, that's why.
And Justin is good. You know, a black man doing a white man's crime, he going to jail. They going to get...
But let's be real about this, though.
No better than that. I done told Bill, you do it yourself. I'm not finna throw that white man into that. Oh, shit. They'll behead me.
Okay, I'd have been like, okay, when Bill was like, Justin, I need y'all to be like, boo, I ain't just stepping and fetching, bro. Nah, man, this ain't L.A., this Abu Dhabi, bro.
Best severance package and 401k in the world for me to drop somebody out of a helicopter on purpose for?
I have to own half a Spence. I'd have been like, look, I ain't Katie, I ain't getting no 1%, bitch. You gonna give me half a Spence. Half a
fixing the gun, look. Where is his son? He gonna be daddy. You in the jailhouse.
I'm kind of mad though that I am a little bit upset that the strong Katie that we were all cheering for, when she just burned Brooke down, when she found out that Brooke was hunching her man, where is she? Because the strong Katie that we all have loved, I know Jamie didn't like her, but come on now, you know she tore it up when she read Brooke the Riot Act. Where is she? Because the strong Katie that we know would have cussed Ridge 1,000 sons. She'd have been all up in his ass, and it wouldn't have been a process.
There's performance, but Katie, the character, we see shades of Victoria Newman every once in a while with her. That gets us fired up. But the character of Katie is not Victoria Newman. At her heart, Katie is still this insecure little girl who at the beginning of the show had those huge pimples all over her face. And they would do all those scenes of beautiful Brooke running down the stairs and Katie sitting at the top of the stairway. And I think that's what they're kind of still writing, the unsureness. Like, she knows that Ridge loves her and she loves Ridge, but she's still insecure. And I think she's like doing the whole Mariah Carey thing, you know, spread your wings and prepare to fly, become a butterfly. If you come back, you belong to me. But you can't do that with Brooke. She better ask Taylor Hayes. You can't take his whole mind up with Brooke because it's a steam room between him and Abu Dhabi.
I just kind of wish that since Katie is like, I've seen Brooke in action, so I know what to gear myself up for. I kind of wish we would have seen Katie, like, you know, do her own chess moves and, like, tell Rich, bitch, you go to Abu Dhabi, you ain't going to never see this again or something.
Definitely still playing this like they're sister wives, which is kind of icky. Because I will say, when Brooke and Katie hugged, I was like, okay, you two, it kills me how...
It was like 2 days ago you wanted to whoop that bitch's ass. Right? Like,
and that's a Bell Soap hallmark, I will say that. Because that's how it was with those Brooke sisters. You know, my grandmother used to talk about how she couldn't believe how they'd be fighting over each other's men, and still she'd be like, I'd whoop my sister's ass. I wouldn't be trying to be her friend no more. But
I'm
the
saying.
Bell Soaps do that. You know, when Sammy and Carrie squared off, we never saw any more love lost between them ever, you know, on Days. Same with Sydney and Jane on Melrose Place. There were these few
and the Quartermain boys. The Quartermain boys.
But with Brooke and Katie, they still play this, you know, undercurrent of, well, yeah, we might still like to share a penis, but we love each other.
Well, let's go around the circle real quick. Deacon returns on Friday. What are you looking forward to most, Jamie?
Well, my dream storyline, and I don't think it'll happen because they already have her. My dream storyline was for him to do to Allie what he did to Bridget all those years ago, you know, for him on the next. But they kind of already are doing that with Oliver. But
they've made Oliver creepy, haven't they?
I thought that would have been cute for him to, like, say, well, we got a new... Because she looks like Jennifer Finnegan. So I thought, you know, because, okay, now on daytime, that would be, oh, that's so icky. But Luke, as you know, I'm caught up with your Game of Thrones.
Woo-woo!
And that is exactly what Littlefinger is doing to
Ed, folks. Jamie has marathon Game of Thrones. So if you are a Game of Thrones fan,
just said he caught up
this week's Pop Confidential podcast for the first time ever. Jamie will have watched the entire Game of Thrones.
He just said he caught up on it.
And think about it. I mean, Littlefinger is doing that with Sansa Stark. In my beloved Jackie
it's
Collins.
It's creepy, but it's fantastic.
Yeah, Gino Santangelo got with, you know, his former lover's daughter in Chances. So, I mean,
oh my God, I thought that was so gross.
You know, we've seen that so much in soap. So, well, you know, and of course, and Allie is only Bridget's niece. So, I'm like, she looks like a young Jennifer Finnegan. So my mind definitely went there to remembering how innocent Jennifer Finnegan was when Deacon was lusting after. And I will never forget that 3-person beatdown Eric, Thord, and Ridge gave Deacon about Bridget. So, you know, but no, they're obviously going to play this angle with Quinn. And I get that's classic soap setup. I don't know. This is just me guessing, but I'm assuming he and Quinn will do Cruel Intentions. You and I have a mutual,
which is what I loved about Sammy and Lucas.
Yeah,
back
they're gonna
in the
do
day.
The you want Brooke, I want Bill. Let's team up, and more than likely they will end up screwing because that's all you know. That is Sammy. Sammy and Lucas. It comes from Dangerous Liaisons. You know.
Yeah.
Or as we Sarah Michelle fans like to call Cruel Intentions. You know.
Jillian, what are you looking forward to most with Deacon's return?
I want to see how this plays out with Brooke and also with Hope. Like, he sold his daughter out. He sold it out for chicken change. He was a sucker, Deacon. I want to see how this will work. I mean, and, you know, speaking of that bitch, Hope. I'm like, you know, girl, when she said, you know, no, I got y'all with this. When she was all, you know, Liam, this is making me open my eyes and see what I'll be getting into with Wyatt. If his mother is like that, I'm like, scourge, scooby-dooby-doo, scourge, scourge. We're going to pull it on over you, bitch, you. I'm like, honey. If we're going to judge people on their parentage, then your ass would never be dating no one because of your mama. No, let me finish. And then with Deacon, I'm like, come on. Like,
difference even with Deacon because they have taken great strides to establish that Hope is nothing like her parents. That boy is so attached to his mama's teat, he does almost, he's like, Mom, stop being crazy. But then he's like, okay, Mom. And goes along with every ridiculous, I love Quinn. But he goes along with every shenanigans.
My big thing with that was, you are going to sit up here and talk about you want to break up with Wyatt because his mama is crazy. And you're going to be with Liam. Bitch, did you forget that Liam's daddy is Dollar Freaking Bill? Like, I don't understand.
Hello?
Well, and what do you think of Deacon
but
coming?
Dollar Bill did not raise Liam. He did manipulate him a lot, and Liam definitely. It's basically like, to me, it's a newest sin, because Liam is now the lesser of two evils this week. Now, we know that can change. Mm-hmm. He could end up dressed up with a tattoo at her next wedding with, you know, Stephanie whipping him with a whip. But right now, Wyatt's mama is the reason her play daddy is punching sharks in the face in the ocean trying to swim, you know, while that shark
didn't nobody tell Ridge to jump on that plane and go over there to the Middle East and break that stuff up. Ridge did that to Ridge.
But it's not just that. She's hope lined up. Ever since the people got there, they've been doing shenanigans and tomfoolery. If she said if there was one thing she could forgive and forget. Quinn has been showing out ever since, and I love it because it's exactly what the show needed. Mm-hmm. But from Hope's perspective, it's like, your mama a little off. So you think about this, ladies. You're dating a man and you know his mama is that crazy. What if you ever decide you don't want him no more? She might carve you up like a turkey.
Oh, whatever.
Speaking of carving up like turkeys, Mel, what did you think of Ava threatening Carly this last week?
Y'all, Laura Wright versus Mara West. I mean, where's the round of applause? It was so good.
Sing just applause, Jamie. Sing applause. Sing it, sing it.
My lip of the applause, applause, applause. Is that the way you're talking about?
It's so good just to see these two powerhouse actresses go at it, you know. Carly is telling Ava, she's like, you're pregnant with Sunday's baby, like I ain't never done that before, you know. She's going at her with everything, and she's like, you know, Sunday gonna kill you after you, you know, not pregnant and stuff. And Ava's like, what, I'm supposed to be scared? I'm not scared.
God, if I kill you
better
first.
Women than you. When Carly said better women than you have tried. And Ava was like, but they ain't me, bitch.
Okay, I'm Ava. And what, I mean, it was so wonderful. For me, it was kind of like the battle of the Carlys, because, yeah, she's playing Ava right now, but y'all, Mara West was giving me Carly Tinny tees the whole time she was battling. So I was like, this is the battle of the Carlys. It's wonderful, and I love it. So they put it down.
Jillian, did it make you anticipate just a little what might be in store for Ava versus Nina eventually?
No, I want to go back to the Ava versus Carly thing. I'm like, honey, child. I mean, it looks as though with the Nina, I don't know. You know, I'm wondering. I'm like, Nina acting too calm for me.
She's doing that Phyllis thing. You know that? Huh? I'm a smile in your face and pretend.
Yeah,
like
she is. I'm like, because
I'm really trying to kill your ass.
I said it on Twitter because I was like, because I'm tweeting it, and she was just acting all calm. I'm like, you know, Silas is up to something. I'm like, girl, you know. And Michelle Stafford swoops in and she just goes, ha ha ha. I'm like, I know you know. I'm like, I'm like, Nina. I'm like, Nina, you acted too calm for me, child. But we know Nina versus
Nina know everything been going on. Nina know that he been with Sam. Nina know she is messing with their heads, and it's not even really fair. It's like if you have a mountain lion playing with three slow rats.
No, it is not, because Michelle, we know Nina versus Ava is going to be phenomenal. Did see Stafford versus West on one, but I don't count that because...
No, we should never count that.
Well, that's you, but I don't count that because it wasn't to me, even though Maura West brought her in the game, it wasn't still a fair fight. Whereas on GH, this going to be a...
The gloves are off, okay?
And they need to move her into that orbit as...
Yes, they need to get her out of Sam... This last week watching, when I was like, when did Sam become the Elizabeth? Like, I was like, Sam is not a heroine. When did she become...
Forget all that. When Sam had to have that conversation with Nathan, I tweeted this. I wanted Alexis to come in and pat them on their heads and say, oh, so pretty. So pretty. Stop thinking that. That's enough thinking for today. Would you like some milk?
I know. Go lay your head down on the desk, baby.
Yeah, just take a nap. It's nappy time. It's nappy time.
The single best thing that Ron could do is get Michelle Stafford and Nina out of that.
You need to play Kelly Monaco's scenes of her when Sam hated Liz, because I loved to hate her during that. And of course, right now, she's not in that mode because she thinks, oh, this poor convalescent woman, you know, but the Sam I know would have, I mean, a little
smelt the BS a little bit. She would have, huh? You know, Sam is a grifter.
She started asking some questions like, is it really a coincidence that she, 5 minutes after she woke up from a 20-year cat nap, that she's now in the park with my baby? I mean, I've loved Sam. I've loved to hate Sam, but I can always say she's never been a dummy.
No, I feel that way with Sam, and I feel that way with Tracy Quarterman. They got my Tracy.
What they're doing to Tracy
is abominable.
They have Tracy dumb. They have Tracy dumb, and we all know Tracy could have smelled the bullshit from a mile away. Like, remember, Jamie? Come on now, remember. I don't know if Luke remember, because you know Luke is a late bloomer with the soaps. But remember when Brenda was with Jax right after she broke up with Sonny, and Tracy came back one of them times that Edward them let her back in that house before they kicked her ass out again. You know, Brenda was acting like she was all over Sonny and all that, but she was just standing in the background watching them, like side-eyeing them, like, like, she knew that Brenda still had feelings for Sonny. She knew it, even though Brenda was like, I'm with Jax now, Sonny, you go to hell, and she read him the ride at Tracy, even when Tracy not in your, even when it's not Tracy's business, when Tracy is just an observer, she can smell the bullshit. And for them to have Tracy acting stupid with this
if Fluke was a little more subtle, I would buy it. Because, you know, there was the whole stay in Miss Cabbage, but the fact that he is just blatantly screaming to everyone he sees, I am not Luke Spencer.
I don't know who it was that pointed this out. I don't know if it was one of you guys or someone on the blog, but basically they've turned Tracy into Dorian.
What?
I mean, Dorian was, I mean, would always fall for crap, and like, it just,
I don't think she's Dorian
because Dorian would have been jazz hands. And Tracy Angelica Quarterman ain't no jazz hands, bitch.
Well, I'll give you that.
She ain't no, Tracy will shoot your jazz hands real quick and be like, get out of my face.
Get Monica to invest in Pellegrino.
No. They have Tracy acting stupid, and they have Sam acting stupid. They also have, I mean, Alexis always has been a little over the years, but they also have Alexis acting like a schoolgirl. I'm like, Julian hit it one good time.
Alexis told me to tell you that.
No, Alexis ain't telling me nothing. I hung up on her. How about that? No, I mean, they have her acting a little wonky.
I'll agree with you there, too.
I'm like, you know, what's happening?
She's buying it a little bit too much hook, line, and sinker.
Yes, I'm in the clouds.
In the
clouds.
It's hooking in there. It's lying.
No. I'm sorry. No, I cannot buy that. They have my women acting stupid on that show. I am not here for that.
This is Alexis who went and killed a man because her child was in danger, and she
has three children by three mobsters. She has always had a weakness.
But that's why she should know better.
She should, but see, you just brought up a good point. Alexis should sit there and be like, hold up, Rick is a kingpin? She should, the attorney in Alexis should kick out and be like, okay, the evidence, She should have a little bit of doubts, but for her to be like, honey, it's true. I'm like, what?
Alexis is a better lawyer than Diane, and we just watched Monday's or Tuesday's episode where Diane just went and shot holes through everything, talking to Liz.
Bro, I don't know about that now.
I'm not. Julia Wainwright was better than Diane, but Alexis can lose a case in a minute.
Sucker. I don't know about that for Diane.
Alexis has always had a weak, her Achilles heel has always been that she likes men that remind her of her diabolical father, Miko.
That's why she should know that Riss is not Rick, and I just cannot, I don't like it. They have her, the only bitch on that show that seems to be smart, well, the only bitch is, I should say, seems to be smart on that show, are Ava Jerome, my Anna Devane, and I would say Carly, but Carly.
Oh, Franco.
No, not because of Franco. No, no way, Carly.
Said I would say Carly, but she's been stupid with Franco.
Carly's been a little off lately. She's been a little off.
Yeah, this regime definitely makes the women go, you know, not crazy. When they get some penis, they go a little loopy. They definitely do.
Listen, Alexis didn't have any for so many years. She's making up
for
lost.
Y'all keep on forgetting Sean. And I would like to point out, Sean was probably very memorable downstairs. Memorable, rather.
Yeah.
Mel.
I just don't like it. They have the women acted stupid.
What did you think of Patrick and Sabrina losing little Gabriel? I personally cheered.
Lord have mercy, cheered on dead babies, Jesus.
But it's a
I have never been so excited for a dead baby in soaps ever.
Yeah, when you finish with Mel, I just want to say something about that. But go ahead.
I thought the story was sad, you know. They thought the baby was doing better and the baby got an infection, baby died. Okay. Sad scenes, blah blah blah. But I didn't too much care about said little baby Gabriel, you know. But they were good emotional scenes. And I really like the scenes with Patrick and Epiphany when she was like, you know, Drake Jr., I know how it is to lose a son and I'm here for you all the time. I really like their little relationship. That's probably one of the highlight scenes for me during that whole thing. But
that was good. His scenes with Liz were good too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Liz.
Jillian, what were you going to say?
Well, we know Liz, no, but dead babies. Chill, fair, faps. But, you know what? I have people need to realize about this storyline when you said you were happy about it. Look, in the words of Jamie's girl, Scarlett O'Hara, look, I hate you and I hate your baby. How about that? I hate it. And I said it with Lily.
And I hate your baby.
I said it with Lily. Yes, and I said it when Lily Rivera blew the fuck up on GH. When she blew up, I was like, my bitch, I hate you and I hate your baby because she kept my sonny away from Brenda. What? People need to realize you are talking about the character, not the actress. Like, I've seen some people on Twitter just get so beside themselves. And, you know, I've had one or two. Yeah, about two people try it. And, you know, when you try it, you get denied it with me. They've tried it when they're like, I can't believe you're saying that. That is so cool.
I'm like, grandfather was like that. He would tell me all the time when I'd be like, ooh, I wish they would kill whoever I was talking about on the soap. Oh, I can't stand. Why'd they kill Stefano? He'd say, don't say that. Don't you say that. Don't talk about killing people. And I'd be like, it's a TV show. And I look at my grandmother like, why is he saying that? Then she'd be like, hush, baby, just listen to what he's saying.
People need to realize this is when you need to differentiate between the character and the actress. Yes, we know that I guess she was pregnant around that time. I'm not too sure. We know she was pregnant, you know, hats off to her. But we're not talking about her. We're talking about the character. And if you cannot separate the two, then you don't need to be tweeting me because I'm a clown you all day, every day. Or maybe
people
you don't need
can.
To
you know, but that's part of the
But no, it is. But when you have people saying you should be ashamed of yourself and you need to kill yourself, now ain't nobody ever said that to me. No, ain't nobody say that to me. When you see people say stuff like that, it's like, you know, this is a character, right? We don't mean Teresa. We don't mean Teresa Castillo. We don't mean her. I mean, what's she name now? No, Teresa is.
We are not responsible for the mental health of people. That, yeah.
Like, calm down. But, you know, I'm like, bye, girl. You know, I'm like, bye, baby Gabriel. Bye, baby Gabriel. And, you know, it was. I mean, the acting was great.
Yeah, it was.
But you know what got on my nerves? I'ma say it, and Jamie will defend it. I don't care. But
Felix.
Yes, Lord Jesus, he got on my last nerve. He got on my optic nerves. How about that? He got on all my nerves. He made it all about him, and I was like, sit your $5 ass down before I make
paint.
He get on my nerve. I'm like, shut up, stop.
And. Isn't it? I mean, look at the difference between Sabrina and Felix versus Brad and Britch. I mean, Brad and Britch are fantastic, and they're always steadily improving.
You just like them because they're nasty.
Felix and Sabrina as characters are always going downhill.
So everybody on the soap should just be nasty and vulgar and vainglorious.
Felix was not always this way. Felix was not always this way.
So you liked him better when he was running around trying to sexually harass and goose every straight guy in town.
When Felix was a little ballsy, when everybody else hated him, when they all thought that Ron was writing a stereotype.
Like him better now, because I'm gonna be honest, I don't like, you know, I mean, I've liked him from the beginning. I've always found him funny, but you can get into, you know, there's so many people in this world that already think that every gay person is trying to convert them. So the fact that Felix spent his first 3 or 4 months every time a straight dude walked in his way, you know, all that does is reinforce the stereotype that all gay dudes are somewhere trying to get at a straight dude. And it always will be the ugliest ass straight guy in the world that are coming up and tell let me finish what I'm saying. Some ugly straight dude will come up because of that. Well, I'm okay with gay people as long as you just don't direct it at me. And this ain't traffic. It ain't nobody directed nothing. And so that kind of annoyed me that, you know, it's like he's never seen a straight penis before. Ooh, hey, Franco. I'm like, really? Really? Okay, now I can see it with Milo, but now you just want to fuck everybody, Felix.
But see, for me, I didn't particularly care for Felix at the beginning, but then when he started getting interested in Brad, he seemed to settle down a little bit, and there was a little bit more depth to the character. But then,
man, when Brad co-checked him,
after Brad and him sort of split up, he's reverted to how he was in the beginning, which is what I didn't like in the first.
I like Brad, and I mean, I like Felix and Lucas. I can't wait for the love scene.
Brad and Lucas.
I don't think Felix has reverted back to how he was, but you would think when Brad Ho checked him and was like, you all up in people's business, like, sit your ass down.
The other stereotype that Felix, you know, and stereotypes are there for a reason. One stereotype that gets on my, another one that gets on my nerves, this is another one gay men have to combat, is that all gay men want to be some woman's sister friend person. I'm like, I don't need that. I need him to go ahead and be, you know, Lucas is out there healing. I'd page Bobby until I'd be like, Noah Drake is on line one for Bobby Spencer. Where the phone? So she can run away from there so I can sneak in there and get me some cuddle time with Lucas. That's what I want to see Felix doing, you know, living outside of Sabrina, because I don't need him to be her gay mammy. I don't need him to just be, oh, I'm going to rock you in my bosom, sister girl. Get over this thing, baby, sister friend.
Some spiritual.
It's like, we are not the spiritual Negroes. Epiphany need to be like, look, Patrick, be what glad that's not 18 years of child support now.
18 years. You figured out a Kanye.
Get out of here.
I wrote, back when they had those a few years ago. Y'all remember the people who did when Chuck Pratt was showing up, they had that Pratt Falls little comedy. I love that little software. I guess it just died on the vine. I guess the people who created that, they ain't doing nothing no more. But I loved that for a while because I created one about this old black woman, that this little white girl, and she would always come up to her and ask her questions like in the movies, you know, like The Secret Life of the Bees. And so I had her come up and be like, Miss So-and-so, what's the secret of the bees? They'll sting your ass. That's the secret of them. You know, because that's what I'm tired of. I do not want to see any more black people consoling white people on television. So
what we get to see on GSA.
I'm ready to see Felix get away from, be like, Sabrina, I'm going to get you the number to Dr. Kevin Collins, girl, because I'm going out because it's two for one night at the Sugar Shack. And Lucas want to pat me on my booty tonight. That's what I want to see him do.
I mean, well, on GH, we're seeing the black folks being, you know, the secret lives
not
of the
Jordan.
Wait, let me finish. We're seeing that, or we see Jordan pop up, you know, once in a while. Like, someone was like, is it the first of the month? That's why we ain't seeing Sean. I'm like, ooh, this ain't Maria. Y'all
Jordan out. And TJ often, though. You know, Sean brings stuff on himself. I mean, he could emote a little better in some of them scenes if you want to get more airtime. You need to stop being in the mob.
I mean, hell. Come on now. I want to.
We see Nathan every day, and that's how he emotes.
Yes, well, we see Nathan every day. We see Nathan every day. Sean and a big cat. Come on now.
Did y'all see him on Twitter talking about he needs to drop his RoboCop nickname?
What?
Did y'all see him on Twitter? The actor, Ryan Pavey, was on Twitter talking about he needs to drop his RoboCop nickname.
What do you mean he needs to drop his RoboCop nickname?
Because like, you know that's like, they call him RoboCop. Because he's so witty. Well, act.
Crack a book open, so sir. We'll pretty. Stop.
I'm he's sorry, so Ryan Pavey. I won't say anything else because you're so pretty. If I was in your face, I probably would be like, you're wonderful.
No, I'm like, you know what?
Well, I'd tell him a bunch of stuff if I was
Ryan Pavey.
I hated the truth, man. You know, he was in my face right now, naked, and he was like, so what do you think about my acting? I'd be like, Sir Laurence Olivier has nothing on you.
Well, we might not be talking, but
I mean, Ryan Pavey is about to get an acting class of his life. I mean, he got one with Donna Mills. I guess Donna said, look, I can't make the dead rise. I mean, in the bedroom, maybe, but not this one. But Stafford is about to give him some acting lessons.
Yeah, they need to hand out trap keepers because she about to teach school over there.
She's about to be like, look, dude, crack open that book because I'm about to teach this lesson. Because I'm like, well, yesterday I was like, damn, Gina, like, in them scenes with her, it was like he was trying to remember his lines, like, 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3.
It's that way every day.
See the wheels turning in his head. I was like, Michelle gonna get mad and be like, like, you know she ain't gonna have the patience for that.
No, at least if you do get him and he isn't talking, he'll have his timing down well.
As long as he's in a scene with somebody else that will bring him up, he works. Like when
Kirsten Storms has been doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah, but when he's in a scene with a lighter weight like Kelly Monaco, I can't have them in two cannot be in a scene together anymore.
As much as I love Britt, them, the siblings together do not.
Pretty
much together.
You don't know that Nina is
Odor.
Nina's that.
Shut up, Luke. Odor.
What do you mean Nina's dead? Nina's not alive, Odor. Sam. She's in a coma.
Odor.
No. Shut up, Luke.
What is it called? Shut up, Tammy. What you saying, Luke?
Hodor.
I'm Sam, and I'm Nathan, and Nina's at my apartment. She was at the park. Wait, Hodor. Nina was at the park? That's what I got.
No, but what y'all think about, before we move from GH, what y'all think about Rafe bitch ass coming back in the picture? I was so glad his stitching ass wasn't on screen. And there he goes.
I like Rafe.
He's 10,000 times more interesting now that he's snorting crack up his little nose.
But the thing is, what would make this even more interesting is if they would make him a Barrington heir and give him a ton of money to die in cocaine.
Luke, the Barringtons were not some great dynasty on a soap opera.
Old money.
That woman was just Edward and Lila's old kook friend. You're so hung up about those
old blue blood money.
Barrington billions.
I never said billions. I said heir.
They already explained that they lost that fortune. It happens. People lose their money.
Aren't affected by fortunes being lost.
Shut up. No. He needs
an heir, all right. He's an heir of a vampire on Port Charles. He will bite your neck, is what he will do.
You know, when I saw him, I was like, oh, you a dumb. Like, wait a minute. Molly got you twisted in the game like that you snorting the dope. I'm like, imagine if she's to drop it on him. I'm like, what are you going to do?
Speaking of Molly, when did she become such a hag?
Finding out that your dad is a vampire serial killer would make you snort crack.
Look, Molly was trying to get her something. Her mama walked in on it. She a little upset, okay?
Yeah.
Look, Rafe is hunkier now. He's a little, more hunky. He's 19, so I can say that. He's got his little earrings in his ear. He's snorting dope. He's ready to party.
No, I need him gone. I'm like, you need to die. Snitches get stitches. You need to die, you snitch fiend, you. Ugh, get on my nerve. Get on.
Stealing from Sam. Just steal. Mm-hmm. See, that's what she get. That's payback for all the menfolk that she conned out of that money. And
you know, Sam must be really loaded for her not to really notice and be like, I thought I put it in. Oh, well. But see,
non-existent PI firm is bill, doing a lot of billable hours.
Listen, she has all that ELQ stock.
But see, that's another thing.
She ain't paying no dividends. All ELQ is produced is some relish this year.
But see, Mikey in there running the company in the ground.
But this goes back to what I'm saying about the women on GH, because Grifter Sam, we all know Grifter Sam would have been like, she could shake a purse and be like, Mel got $250 and 79 cents in this hair. She would have shaked Jamie's wallet and be like, Jamie got $450 and, you know, he got five ones, this, that, and the third. This new Sam is just
She's like where's my money?
I'm like, what's going on?
You know
on?
What, though? Let's go back. Mel, you mentioned something I want to talk about, ELQ. Michael is running Edwin's company.
And
it's laughable.
You know, we haven't podcasted.
It is so laughable.
We haven't podcasted in a while. But when he was sitting at that desk looking like Zach from Saved by the Bell.
That's what it was.
Sam, not Sam, what's her name? Keisha. Kiki came in there. Bless her little heart, because I just burst into hysterical laughter. They did a very stereotypical soap scene. We've seen it on YNR a ton of times, where Lauren Finborough will come in there and unbutton her blouse to tantalize the man. When they had Kiki unbutton and show that little training bra.
I love the
It was like wah wah wah,
and he didn't even give her a second look.
Yeah, he did. He tried.
I mean, it was like, I need to finish this up first.
I mean, it doesn't take much to tantalize and to distract Michael. I mean, he's a dumbass.
Well, that's true. He's always been.
Yeah, it don't take much. She could have played Pokemon, and he'd be like, "Ooh, I mean, give me a break." Him,
like,
no.
From Charlie Brown taking off her shirt in front of Charlie Brown. I'm going to show you my goodies. I bet this will distract you from your $1 billion.
We need I need my Tracy Quartermain running that bitch. I'm sorry, that boy running that. No.
Michael shouldn't be running it. Ned should be.
Well, Ned over.
Ned orchestrated the coup to get Michael in charge.
That's why wouldn't Ned just do it himself?
Ned doesn't want the ELQ. That's a running
the person who's supposed to keep things on track.
You clip
Ned is touring at the Hard Rock Cafe in Maine. He don't want the ELQ.
Ned is a gatekeeper. Wouldn't just leave Michael there all by himself. He would do a transition to make sure that Michael was fully capable of handling it, and then he would leave.
But it's been a theme for a while now, as Jamie has said, when Billy Warlock, around the time when Billy Warlock was still playing AJ, it's been a theme that, what's his face, that Ned was like, I'm done with grandfather's games for this company.
He wanted to be a rocker.
Yes, he's like, I want to spend time with my kid. I'm over this ELQ thing, so.
I say this, though, again, even though that's a laughable arc, I give them props. Because at least Michael is at ELQ. Because all of the Newmans on The Young and the Restless were at Jimmy's bar last week. Deciding who was going to mop up vomit at the bathroom. Was deciding,
and we are going to
his children were going to inherit the blender.
I mean, it does play into the theme, though. Michael, even though we don't like Michael being there, it does play into the theme. It does play into his history. Jason did not want him a part of that world. And after doing all of that, Jason ruined his romance with his only true love, which is Robin Scorpio. Sometimes
ironic that Jason, Carly, and Sonny did everything they could to keep Michael from being corrupted by the Quartermains, yet he ended up shot in the head and raped in the booty hole because of the Corinthians.
Okay, on that note, we're going to wrap up this episode. We would encourage you to comment on it at Daytime Confidential, which we've just completed a major overhaul. We hope you enjoy the new features. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Add us as a friend on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Sam, you better brush up on your acting, girl. You need to go to school, you boo.
Bye, y'all.